Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Yankees, once again, ho-hum, routinely find themselves in the postseason with a realistic shot still at the American League East division title.
Which I did not think that they would have a shot at that division title. This is what the Yankees do. Listen, I didn't know what to expect coming to the year. I did not know. You lose Soto, you lose Gerrit Cole, Luis Gil's not ready to pitch. The first one of the offseason arms that you bring in, Devin Williams, has an ERA of 9 the first month of the season. We're all sitting there saying, what in the world is this season going to turn into? And as the years unfolded, and listen, I think that the higher you are in terms of accomplishment, unfortunately, maybe the more critical we get. So we probably, and when I say we, I mean all of us, and I'm guilty of this as well, we probably glossed over a lot of the good and really hammered over, probably a little excessively, some of the stuff that really bothered us. But this year for the Yankees has been littered with amazing stories. I mean, Trent Grisham's story is amazing. Aaron Judge, I know we could have the debate, Cal Raleigh, whatever. He should win the MVP. Bellinger's been phenomenal. You look at the season that Ben Rice has had. The Yankees have two lefties that have won 18 games for the first time since 1979 in Rodon and Fried, which was Guidry and Tommy John. So Stanton, you know, we didn't even know if Stanton was going to play this year. And if you look at his numbers in pro rate them, which you can't, but he could tell you how effective he's been. He's on pace for 45 bombs at 100 and something RBI. So it doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series, but what it does mean is that the Yankees, once again, when people aren't sure who they are, they just have this ability to rise and give their fans a lot to cheer about. This was a great accomplishment based on some of the issues they had this season.
Look, they're held to a higher standard because of their great success. It is what it is. They're the New York Yankees. They're the greatest winning, franchise in the history of sports. So they are going to be always held to a higher standard, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't at least take a moment to appreciate. Now, I don't think just making the playoffs for them, especially with the expanded postseason, is a big deal. Like, they should make the postseason every single year, but they do more often than not. They've made it the majority of the seasons for 30 years and counting. Where we say it for other teams, like the Mets, well, you should make the postseason every year with their payroll and Steve Cohen take it over, and they don't. Like, they fumble to do it. So if we see one team in their same town, not to mention the other teams across the league, not make the postseason as often as the Yankees do, then there is something to it. It's just not as easy as, well, they're the Yankees, and yeah, the expanded postseason, they should make it every year. So it is an accomplishment. But it's also not just about the weak American League. Like, that was a big narrative last year, and I know I was talking about that, and I believed it. That
was true. It was weak last year.
Okay, it's different this year. Yeah. And what they've overcome, not to mention Gerrit Cole being out before the year, like they wanted Juan Soto. He left them. They still pivoted to a significant plan B. We joked about the plan B and what that would bring in. It's even more than just that. Even when they were starting to struggle a little bit, Cashman, what does he do at the deadline? Aggressive, goes out and tries to rebuild the bullpen. Some guys hit, some guys don't, whatever. Also gets Caballero in insurance, and that has helped. You go get a third baseman in McMahon. Like, the Yankees, I don't care if you hate them, if you love them and you're mad at them, whatever it may be, you're a Met fan. If you don't respect and appreciate what the Yankees do routinely, you are missing the mark here. Every year, they give their fans something to be excited about going into the postseason. Every year. Even if they don't win the World Series every time, every year they have a chance. And I would say that they have as good a chance as anybody in the sport once they get in to go. I wouldn't say I'd bet on it. Mm. I'm just saying that they have as good a chance as anybody else.
I'm starting to feel that way, and I haven't felt like that for most of the season here. You know, one of the things that frustrates me about the Yankees, and this goes back to what I said before about we tend to, you know, beat to a bloody pulp because of the expectations, the failures, or the things that bother us. Now, to be fair, the things that have bothered the Yankee fans, they've been constant for years. So it's not like we've been completely out of whack, like whether it's a fundamental issue on the bases or, you know, the defense not being tight enough in certain spots or not having enough left-handed six going back a few years ago. The thing that bothers me about the Yankees is that for the payroll and the expectations and the really good players that they generally trot out every single year, it's always this mid-season, okay, what do they have to do to bring in, who do they have to bring in to save this? And I've never understood that. Like, and that's why I've always gone more toward Brian Cashman than I have gone toward Aaron Boone. And I think that that's, I don't want to tell people how to think, but I think that that's the right way to analyze the troubles of the Yankees late, when I say troubles, no championships, since 2009. I think it's been more of a bad roster than a manager not doing the right thing. That's my opinion. I think a lot of people agree with that. Not everybody, that's fine. But this year, the moves, and this is where you got, and you started to do it, but I've got to do it as well. The moves that Brian Cashman made at the deadline, it's not only given them depth, but it's changed the energy of this team. The Yankees, when you watch the Yankees, there is some energy. Whether it's Caballero, whether it's Jazz. And I know Jazz can do some things that drive you a little nuts here, but there's an infectious attitude and fun and spunk and just a little bounce with him that is very, very detectable. And then you look at the left side of the infield, which was a train wreck for the first 90-100 games of the year. They got a lot of lefties who throw inside cutters and sliders. What does that mean? It means the ball's going to third base. So the Yankees went out and got a guy who was a great fielder in McMahon. It's going to be a fun ride. They have changed. I hope it's a fun ride. They have changed my views on what they could do this year. I have said all year, I do not believe that they could win the World Series. The last month or so, for a lot of reasons, that's changed, and that's good to see.
Yeah, now look, I still think that they're a flawed team, but I don't want to get
Who's
into
not,
that.
Though? Think about this. Well, who isn't?
That's the point. So their biggest, like, I guess, negative thing with the Yankees is always that we're always comparing them, at least in my mind, to the dynasty years. Okay, well, I've seen the dynasty dominate in the regular season for multiple years, for almost two decades. I've seen them dominate in the regular season and then have success continually in the postseason to the point of winning many World Series, obviously the most recent one in 2009. So every Yankee team, at least in my mind, I'm like, yeah, this is great, you make the postseason, but it's all about winning in the postseason, and they haven't done that nearly enough. So we could still have the conversation, well, will Aaron Judge and this Yankee offense do what they've done in the regular season, specifically against bad teams? Will they carry that over in the postseason to get to and win a World Series? Last year they got there. It's been a while since they got there. They got there last year. Can they now get over the hump and go win one? So those are still question marks. The base path stuff, the defense of, like, I still believe that
Dominguez.
Yeah, like they have developing the younger players, Volpe, whatever. They still have flaws. However, even with all those flaws that other teams have would knock teams out. And the Yankees always find a way to get there. So much so that I do think we take it for granted here.
We do.
People in New York, the media, we take it for granted. The amount of success, the continued appearances in the postseason should not be taken for granted.
That's well said. And think about this. Think about the football slop that we get served up every single Sunday for over a decade. The Knicks have finally fought their way out of this malaise for most of the century. The Rangers haven't won a cup since 94. You know, the Isles, the Devils, the Nets. I mean, with all these teams that are in our city right now, I mean, the Yankees are the one that continually give their fans at least a belief. They deliver on the promise of at least being in the mix. And I'll tell you what. So I think to really process, and my mindset has changed this year. I grant you that. This has not been my mindset throughout. But go back, if you're a Yankee fan, go back to the middle of February and what you thought that this team could be, and then quickly find out that not, and if I told you on Valentine's, it'll take middle of February, right? If I told you Gerrit Cole will not throw a pitch this year, Juan Soto will be a Met, who was amazing with Aaron Judge, and it's been amazing for the Mets as well. No Cole, no Soto, no reigning rookie of the year. And oh yeah, by the way, Clark Schmidt, who's better than Will Warren and is a starter, and that is 60% of your starting rotation, and the Yankees with five games to go have a pretty good chance to win the division, and Judge going to win the MVP, and he got two guys who were knocking on the door with 20 wins. I mean, it really has been, it's been fun, and it was not fun for most of the year because if you think about up in Boston, the base running gaffes with Dominguez, with Volpe's erosion, and some of the other things that have gone on, that swallowed up the energy to the Yankee season. I didn't think that they were capable of repositioning it to the point where I would believe that they really have a chance to win. I believe that they have a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not shocked by what's going on here. I've told you all along.
I'm pretty surprised.
Outside of when they lost to Minnesota last week, that was the first time I was like, oh, maybe they're not going to win the division. But knowing what their schedule was and just not believing in the Blue Jays, and by the way, that would be the sweet cherry on top here, although I'm not a big fan of cherries. But
I
maybe
hate
like,
cherries.
Yeah, maybe like the sprinkles on top. I'm a big sprinkles guy.
Sprinkles are good.
So
a little butterscotch sauce.
Maybe the sprinkles on top of the Blue Jays and their broadcasters and their manager talking trash with the Yankees. They're starting to choke it away here down the stretch. Wouldn't it be sweet to finish with the Yankees on top, winning the division? Then you don't have to worry about what would be a very dangerous wild card series, even being at home. You know, take it on Boston. Yeah, it's going to be great drama to talk about, but that's a dangerous series in the first round. Maybe the most dangerous series that they could have throughout the postseason. So you want to win this division. It's a big difference moving forward. They're a flawed team. I'm not ready to say that they're going to go out there and win the World Series. I'm just saying that we as a city, you mentioned it before, the Knicks come and gone, really mostly down, but they've been back up. Jets and Giants, they've stunk. The Mets, come on. I mean, the Yankees have been the one constant for 30-plus years, and no matter what happens with the division, they again will be in the postseason. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. What do we got here, Hoff? What are you doing with okay, we're going to the calls, right?
Yeah, we'll get some calls here.
Yeah, Sully's calling from Farmingdale. What's up, Sully?
Sully.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love the show.
Thank you. What's up, Sully?
So, listen, I'm a huge Yankee fan, over 50 years. Agree with a lot of the points you guys make, but honestly, the Yankees should have never been in this position. They should have been way ahead, even with Cole being injured. I think the Yankees heading into the offseason last year knew Cole's elbow was a little bit shaky. I give Cashman a lot of credit for Bellinger. You know, Bellinger has made a huge difference. But I'm afraid in the playoffs that the Yankees are going to go back to the home run or nothing. And I think Bellinger at least shortens down his swing.
Yep.
I think they have a chance to win, but I don't think they're going to win. And at the end of the day, that's the Yankee standard. You got to win it all. So I don't want... And I get a little tempted as well to start, like, celebrating too soon. You know, whether they win the East or not, they got to win the World Series.
Well, Sully, I appreciate that. And I'm okay with that. I think what we're saying today is to appreciate the checkpoints before you actually get to the analysis of did they win, how did they look, if they get knocked out, who knocked them out, what round was it. And, you know, that's why, and I know... Some people have an issue with this. I've never, whether it's the Yankees or anybody else, like if you win, even if you're used to winning, if you clinch a wild card berth, you know what? Pop the champagne. I have no issue with that. It's such a long season. You get to spring training in February. It is almost October, Sal. You play every single day. You travel. You're up. You get in from, you know, Lord knows where, 3, 4 in the morning. You're at the ballpark 9, 10, 11 hours a day. When you accomplish something, when you pay the toll to keep going to hopefully cross the bridge to a World Series, don't go nuts, but have a couple of beers, light up a couple of cigars like they did, and have fun. I think that they earned it.
If you're not appreciating the checkpoints, then what are we doing here? Like, we talked about this, I don't know if it was last week, BT, or 2 weeks ago, where we're like, man, this season has just not been fun.
Yeah, for both teams, we kept saying that. It was like torture.
And it hasn't. Now, you could say different now, of course, with the Yankees playing well over the last month or so and clinching a playoff spot. That's fun. This season overall has been a lot of negative talk for different reasons throughout the course of the entire year. So I wouldn't deem it as fun. When there are legitimate reasons to be having fun, like right now for the Yankees, you should be having fun and not saying, yeah, but... Yeah, I don't trust them in the postseason. They're a flawed team. They got to go win the World Series. We know that. We could have those conversations tomorrow or next week or in 2 weeks from now. Today, after they clinch the playoff spot, I do think, now again, you do what you want. I'm just saying I think it's proper to sit back and appreciate the greatness of the Yankee organization for routinely making the postseason when you could look across town and see how difficult other teams make it just to even get there.
There's no question. And there's going to be polarizing and paralyzing topics of analysis. I mean, let's face it, guys. What does Aaron Judge do the next month? That is
the biggest,
outside of Jackson Dart, that's probably the biggest story. You know, Aaron Judge eventually got to crack through and cement that Yankee October legacy. What are we thinking when Devin Williams takes the baseball in a high leverage spot, up one, tie game, late, on the road, whatever it might be, ALDS, ALCS. Okay, what happens with, say, Rodon, who has had really, truly an amazing season, but the thing that we always say about Rodon, yeah, but do we trust him? We'll get to all that. This has been really, really unexpectedly fun, and I want to remind everybody, and I was in the building when the Yankees lost to the Astros on that Saturday night, 2022, and just listen to the starting lineup, because this is the perspective that I think gets lost sometimes, and that's one of the things Sal's saying so far. Enjoy it, appreciate it. Harrison Bader led off, Judge batted second. This is a playoff game, guys. Rizzo is batting third, Stanton four, Torres, Donaldson, Cabrera, kind of Falefa, Carpenter, Peraza, Trevino. That was the Yankees lineup, pinch hitters, pinch runners, etc., as they were trying to get to the World Series. So not only have the Yankees in a lot of ways, I don't want to say overachieved because they have a massive payroll, but they have put themselves in a position to win a World Series while also really flipping the roster, which is hard to do.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Steve is in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
Stevie.
Yes, what's up? You know, for all the criticism that Brian Cashman was taking in the offseason about Plan B and whatnot, you guys were just mentioning it. Think of how you lose 3/5. If I would have told you going into the season, you're going to lose Juan Soto plus 3/5 of your starting rotation,
yep,
where would you think this team
would
be?
Well, I'll let you finish. That's why I always said, I don't know if the Yanks are going to win the division. I've been saying that for 5 months. I've been taking the Blue Jays seriously and the Red Sox a little bit.
And the days of the Yankees trying to catch lightning in a bottle with the Aaron Smalls of the world. You have guys, you had Warren step up, you had Schlittler, who looks like he has the potential to be a top of the rotation starter.
Love him.
And then I'm listening to Brian Cashman on a front office show the other day. He says, the minute that the guy brings up Schlittler, he's like, hey, I got three more coming. I've got Ben Hess, Carlos Legrandier, and Elmer Rodriguez Cruz lined up for next year. This narrative that the Yankees can't develop starting pitching after they had the rookie of the year last year.
No, nobody says that. That's not true.
Yeah.
It's position players, which is much more accurate. Everybody lauds the Yankees' ability to find pitchers.
Yeah, no, it's been more about the lack of development of position players that's been going on for a while. And that still remains the case here. I just believe, and look, to me, it's disappointing if you don't win the division, but that's still in play. And I still believe now more than ever, and I believed it for a while, I'm convinced that the Yankees are going to win this division.
You've been saying that.
Yeah, but now even more so because Toronto is choking it away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the way the things lined up, and by the way, BT, it shouldn't just be overlooked like the Yankees beating up on bad teams. Okay, well, who else demolishes the bad teams? It's not like they're just taking two out of three. Like, they're bludgeoning these teams for the most part when they're playing these bad teams. That's what good teams should be doing. There's no apologies in that. When their schedule is lined up the way that it is, and we say definitively, well, the Yankees are going to go on a major run. I'm like, I expect 10-2 or, you know, 11-1 against these final 12. Well, that's saying something where you can't say that about all the other teams in a league.
Yeah, and that's true. And I think where, for me, and I know we're going to break here, get these calls coming back, obviously, Yankee fans fired up. I think that they stabilized things about a month or so ago when they had that stretch against good teams.
And
they played,
two out of three
they
from
played pretty well against the Astros, and that was like the first flick where I'm like, okay,
Toronto,
maybe.
Boston.
Yep, yeah. Toronto and Boston, maybe they're starting to grow into something here I didn't see. So, yep, by the way, if the Yankees go 5-0 the rest of the way, Jays go 3-2, Yanks win the division. If the Yankees go 4-1, Jays go 2-3, Yankees win the division.
And if you're a frustrated Yankee fan, even with getting to the playoffs, it's like, oh, I want to win the division, win the World Series, then I have a question for you. We'll do that when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got Floodlight Cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Good for Cal Raleigh. He's having a wonderful, wonderful season.
The big dumper.
Yeah, right. Good timing. The big dumper had a wonderful night last night. He had two more home runs for the Seattle Mariners. They won their 89th game of the year. They've won the American League West. The guy's a beast. He's having a wonderfully historic season. He has now hit 60. 60.
Yeah.
Which used to be this cherished number. And for some reason, 60 is now like, ooh, 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 he has to win the MVP. Aaron Judge hit two home runs yesterday?
Yeah, he's 51.
He has 51.
Should be 52 Easter Sunday, I don't forget.
I don't mean to knock Aaron because I think Aaron's one of the great players of our lifetime. But don't you think between Cal Raleigh hitting 60, Judge hitting 62 a few years ago, Kyle Schwarber's at 56, Shohei Ohtani is at 54, wherever he's at.
He just hit one.
He just hit one. He may be at 55 at this point. I don't even know. Don't you agree? Like, it doesn't even matter that much anymore?
I think the home run
is kind of, like, it's cool, but it isn't what it used to be because these guys, not just one, but a lot of guys are assaulting the record books like they did in the steroid era. I don't think it means as much.
I think 60 does mean something. 55 is not 60. It's still another five to get there. And all I'm calling out is hypocrisy because we all ate it up and went nuts, and I was right at the top line when Judge did this a couple of years ago, and we started calling it the American League record, right? Because that was a way to skirt the whole steroid thing.
Right.
This kind of ironically feels a lot when Bonds suddenly quickly broke.
It was too quick.
It was too quick. And yeah. I think Cal Raleigh, also West Coast, there's a lot of ties into it, is kind of falling into Bonds, do we really care as much territory? And I think he's kind of being punished. If Judge had not done that a couple years ago, what are we saying? We're going to punish Cal Raleigh because Judge did it a couple years ago?
It's a little bit about Judge a few years ago, but here's what it's also about. Kyle Schwarber's hit 56 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Shohei Ohtani's at 54. Yeah. Like, it's
so
not,
do you think something's going on here? What do you think is going on?
No. I don't think anything's going on with individuals. I think the sport is just so different that 50 doesn't mean what it used to. And clearly 60 doesn't mean what it's used to.
I think 60's still special.
I don't think so.
Seven human beings ever.
Sean? I love this sport. I love the history of this sport. I saw him hit the two home runs last night, and it was like, Schwarber's at 56. Like, it just, because so many other guys are doing, like, can I give you an example? All when right. Aaron Judge hit 62 home runs, who hit the second most home runs?
I have no idea.
It was Kyle Schwarber. Do you know what the number was?
50?
46.
Okay.
Do you know what the third most home runs?
42.
Pete Alonso, 40.
Okay.
Like, Aaron Judge didn't just win or didn't just hit 62. He hit 16 more home runs than the next highest guy and 22 more home runs than the next highest guy after that.
See, I don't
this
like
season,
that.
No, hold on. This season, Cal Raleigh's hit 60. We're having a parade. He's literally only four ahead of one guy, six ahead of another guy, and nine ahead of the real MVP of the American League. Like, when you think about it that way, it's impressive. I'm not trying to diminish that he has had a great year. But, dude, it doesn't mean the same when so many guys are right there.
4, 6, and 9 is still a lot when you get to 60.
Compared to Judge.
Okay, so Judge, the league was more off that year? That's what I don't understand. So you're punishing Cal Raleigh because Judge played in a year where less home runs were hit? The guy could hit 62. Guy could hit 63 by the end of the weekend. It's insane.
When Roger Maris hit 61, forget Mick, because Mickey Mantle, they had a race, and he's an all-time great player.
Yeah.
The next highest guy after that was Orlando Cepeda with 15 less home runs. There was a drop-off. When Babe Ruth hit the 60, there was a drop-off.
I understand your argument.
But I find it irrelevant, though. It's not irrelevant.
I do think it's irrelevant because basically you're saying, well, Cal Raleigh, if this was Judge's year, he wouldn't have hit this many. Look how many people are hitting home runs this year. I don't think there's a correlation.
Oh, you don't think there's something to that?
I don't.
See, you asked me, am I implying something? I'm not implying anything about the baseball players. I'm not accusing
anyone. The baseballs are wound tighter this
year? Probably, yeah. Yeah. Well, is that crazy?
I mean, nothing's crazy. I I view, and this is where we're just different, I view getting to 60 as a special number. And maybe that's because I'm a blinded Yankee fan that was basically coaxed into thinking it was a big deal when Judge did it 2 years ago. I'm just trying to be consistent.
It was a big deal when Judge did it 2 years ago. It's not a big deal anymore.
Because
I'm
Judge
sorry.
Did it?
No, because Judge...
What if he hits more than Judge did?
Hold on. It's not because Judge did it. It's because he was so annihilating everybody else. Things feel easy this year. Kyle Schwarber may hit 60. It's on the table. He has a big weekend, but, and it's 60 home runs. If two guys hit 60, and we know the last time two guys hit 60, what was going on? I forgot. And I'm not accusing them of it, but it took away the specialness of it. I'm sorry.
And this is where it gets very nuanced, and I know you guys are tired of this argument. If Cal Raleigh's not a catcher, he could hit 70.
Why would you say that? Because of the wear and tear on his knees?
Yeah, we've been told our whole lives about the wear and tear and these catchers wearing down at the end of the year. Cal Raleigh hasn't worn down. He's also started more games as a catcher than Aaron Judge did in the outfield this year.
I understand, because Aaron had some injuries.
Okay, that's a big deal with
that this. That is a big deal. It still doesn't make him having a better year than Judge, because he's not.
Okay, but...
Like, Aaron Judge is having a better year than Cal Raleigh, and people who are arguing it are just ignoring the facts because they think it's so cool that a guy with a fun nickname is a catcher, and he had 60 home runs. He's a 248 hitter. He has a 960 OPS. Mm. Judge destroys him in those two stats. Enough.
If he didn't play in Seattle, I'm telling you, I'm having a different argument. If Cal Raleigh was a Met or a Yankee right now, we'd think he's the MVP. I don't work that way.
That may be your biased minds. I don't work that way. Okay. I give my honest opinion. I don't care what team you're on.
But this is where the catcher thing does
Clayton
come into
Kershaw
play.
Should have won the Cy Young over R.A. Dickey. Ooh. I said it. It's true. Am I biased or am I just giving you an honest opinion?
And I'm giving you my honest opinion. You brought up the
Well, you what? No, hold on. Before you continue, you accused me and others of saying, well, if he played in New York, we'd think differently. No. What's that based on?
I believe that.
Well, you can believe it all you want.
I believe.
I thought R.A. Dickey didn't deserve to win the Cy Young over Clayton Kershaw. Why did I think that? It's because I'm honest, not because I'm a biased fanboy like you and some others. So don't accuse me of it. Accuse yourself of it. Don't accuse me.
R.A. Dickey wasn't doing the pitching equivalent of 60
home runs. I'm defending myself, right? Thank you.
He wasn't doing the pitching equivalent of 60 home runs. Cal Raleigh is playing in the Pacific Northwest, where half of us haven't seen a pitch that he's had except for when he's played
irrelevant.
The locals.
It's irrelevant.
It is relevant.
But why is it relevant?
Your point above anything else, talking about the guys being bunched in, well, look how much closer these guys are. I don't think any of them are going to hit 60, okay? Cal Raleigh has, and if you're going to play that game, Cal Raleigh caught, he might have the same gap between Aaron Judge and like he did with the others if he wasn't a catcher.
If. Who cares about ifs?
Who cares?
He's a catcher.
It adds to the legacy what he's doing. He's doing this as a catcher. It's insane.
Sean, it adds to his legacy. It still doesn't make him having a better year than Aaron Judge, and it doesn't take away from the fact that literally four guys have hit 50 home runs, and Eugenio Suarez, if he wakes up, hits two more, he's at 50.
Okay.
Like,
great.
It's
60's different.
It's cheapened 50. I think 60's been cheapened. And quite frankly, it's a part of why, just to bring something back to earlier in the show, it's why cutting down their games doesn't matter anymore. Because these records, it's not the same. It was 162. We can't have 154. Why the hell not? We had it for a million years. Why not 146? Guys are going to hit 60 anyway, the way home runs are coming. So I think that this assault on the record book makes it easier to cut down on regular season games from lawyers like myself who aren't going to care as much about records. Now, I'm not saying that's a conspiracy.
Sure.
I don't think baseball did that for that reason. I think they know home runs sell. That's why the baseballs get wound tighter sometimes. But I'm being honest with you. Like, my hesitation from cutting down from 162 is gone now. What the hell do I care about the home run record? The home run record is dead.
That would make me, if we think they're going to cut down, that would make me even more vote for Cal Raleigh for the MVP. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King now, exclusively on Paramount Plus. He's going to win MVP. Just brace yourself.
I'm not telling you who's going to win. I'm telling you who should win. I'm not a writer. I'm not a two-bit writer. Like, I'm telling
you. What do you,
you
think is going to happen, though? Forget what you should. Honestly.
I have no idea what these writers are going to do. I'm telling you what should happen. And I don't think it's close. Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I think the numbers are so overwhelming that I think this is stupid. I think it's a dumb argument at this point.
All right.
And I don't know why 60, like, even
Cal Raleigh playing in a pitcher-friendly park?
It's not really as pitcher-friendly as you think.
Okay.
And, you know, like Big Mac said the other day, oh, if you hit 60, everything changes. Why? Because it's a magic number to you?
It is a magic number.
Why?
It's like a pitcher getting the 300 wins.
Yeah, that's overrated. He's at 51 home runs, Aaron Judge. Is that cool? I mean, you want to talk about records? Aaron Judge has hit over 50 home runs how many times now? That's a record.
Yeah.
Since we're doing the whole record thing with Cal Raleigh, you want to do the record thing with Aaron Judge? And oh, by the way, he's hitting 330 while he's doing it. And he doesn't get pitches to hit. And he gets pitches that are called balls, called strikes, consistently. Like, I'll play the game, too.
Have we watched all of Cal Raleigh's at-bats? Do we know the same thing is not happening to him?
Well, you're just going to make an assumption. I'm telling you based on facts what's going on with Aaron Judge.
Because we've seen it. This is exactly my point. We here in New York are being clouded by not seeing Cal Raleigh every
day. No, I'm being clouded by the fact that Aaron Judge beats him in basically every important statistic. That's what I'm clouded by.
Magic number. MVP.
By the way, Tommy, I want to give you a victory on something.
Thank you.
You ready?
Yes, I am.
We argued for a long time, best player in baseball. And I said, it's Judge. And you'd always say, Ohtani.
Of course.
And you would always say, he pitches. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, he doesn't pitch. And I always said to you, Tommy, I said, listen, man, once he starts pitching and he does it well, I will agree with you. Mm-hmm. But we're not there yet. I'm ready to say Shohei Ohtani's the best player in baseball.
Of course he is.
Well, now he is.
He's pitching great.
He's pitching great. He's going to be the game one starter. The Dodgers are thinking about deploying him in like a million different ways. Oh, by the way, he's hit 54 home runs. So you were wrong then. But you're right now, and so I'm with you. Ohtani.
Thank you.
Congrats. I'm going to bow out of the race with Bobby Witt Jr. Judge is better.
By the way, Evan, another debate you and I have long since had is shortening the baseball season. Here's the checkmate. If this season was shorter, the Mets would have already clinched a playoff spot. And you wouldn't have to be sitting there watching Arizona Diamondback games.
Just remember this.
If Tommy, the season ended today, Evan, I would want, Tommy, it would be a shorter baseball season.
No. Tommy wants to shorten the baseball season to 90 games, okay?
somewhere around there.
I'm good in the 140s, low 150s. And honestly, the assault on this record just makes me even more confident that that's fine. Now, let's take some of your calls. I'm sure everyone agrees with me. I don't know how you couldn't. Aaron Judge is the MVP of the league. Cal Raleigh getting all this pub. Like, he's had a great year. It's wonderful. Oh, by the way, Dodgers are up 8-0.
You're going to take out emotional insurance now?
On the Diamondback game?
Yeah.
8-0? That's a good idea.
Because the odds got to be juicy for that.
Yeah, I'm going to
think about how devastated you would feel if Arizona came back in the fourth inning and rallied here.
Before we take a call, what do you think the odds are right now on the Diamondbacks' money line? They're trailing 8-0.
Plus 2,200.
Plus 5,500.
Wow.
So right now, if I bet $10 on the Diamondbacks winning, I'd win $550.
That sounds like emotional insurance we should all check out.
You think so?
I think so.
All right, I think I'll do that. All right. Let's go to Jim in Levittown. What's up, Jim?
How you guys doing? I wanted to give my 2 cents on that, why I think Sean is arguing so passionately. And by the way, I think 60 means something too, but I think he's arguing so passionately because if he says to you that 60 isn't a big deal, he's diminishing what Aaron Judge did a couple of years ago.
Bingo, that's part of it, Jim. You nailed it.
But you know what's funny about that, Jim? I don't diminish what Judge did. I think this season is different. In fact, I was arguing the opposite by saying, look how far away everybody was when he hit over 60. That's a defense of he hit it in a year in which it felt more difficult to hit home runs. Raleigh's done it in a year in which four guys have already hit 50.
But Evan, if I could take you back in a time machine.
So I'm defending Judge.
By the way, I'm losing track. Was this 3 years ago now?
2022.
So 3 years ago. Right, because they didn't make the playoffs in 2023. So 3 years ago when this happened.
By the way, same thing as 98 to 01 with McGuire, Sosa, to Bonds.
Exactly. And I remember not caring as much about Bonds. Played on the West Coast. I had just seen it. And I think Cal is getting that treatment. I do think that we forget when we were talking about Judge, it wasn't just, wow, look at him compared to everybody else, which is the argument you're making now. That counter on the bottom of the screen and this whole lead up to 60, 60, 60. We all sat there and lived and died with the idea that 60 was a magic number, and it didn't matter if anybody else
hit 50 or 40. The keyword is was. I don't think it matters anymore.
But it's not like three guys have hit 60 since. What if Cal Raleigh hit 60, and that's the last time somebody hit 60 for 50 years?
Bro, Kyle Schwarber's at 56 right now. Again, Schwarber could get to 60.
But
what are we talking about?
But what if he doesn't? You're making the assumption now that all of a sudden we're just going to have 60 home run hitters the next couple years.
No, I'm saying this season, this specific season has completely weakened it when you've got four guys over 50, including Aaron Judge, who's the league MVP.
60 isn't 50.
Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. Mario.
What's going on? Good show, guys.
Thanks.
First thing I want to start off by, remember you were talking about you don't know where to watch the game?
Oh, yeah. Right, well, baseball is going to be on Netflix next year. So, yeah, we were saying it's tough to find where the game is on.
I'm telling you something. If you Google a game on your phone, on the bottom of the game, it says watch live. You click on there, and it says where it's on.
There you go. Yeah, that's helpful.
Okay, so I just wanted to tell you that. Well, I got two things on baseball. Number one thing about Judge that's very interesting is he had 50 back-to-back. That's only been done six times.
Yep.
So that's another thing that he did this year that nobody else did. And the last thing I want to say, I hear what you're saying, and I agree to you to a certain extent about the 60, but maybe it's not true, because I've been looking at the betting line all up until he hit 60, and he was way ahead. Guess what? He's not favored anymore. It's minus 200 for Raleigh and plus 160 for Judge.
No. The MVP betting odds have changed a lot. I'm just telling you what I think. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what the writers are going to do, and clearly the betting odds changing the way they have shows you they don't know. Because Aaron Judge a week ago was a heavy, heavy favorite. Now Cal Raleigh is a little bit of a favorite. I don't know ultimately what writers are going to do. I'm just telling you my opinion. I don't think it's that close. They're both playoff teams. The Mariners have won their division. We'll see about the Yankees. And I just think Aaron Judge has had a better year. I mean, I'm sorry. And I don't even, actually, I take my apology back. Why am I sorry? I'm right.
I don't know the answer to this, and I realize I should know the answer to this, but you will know the answer to this.
Maybe. I don't know everything.
Because it did happen in the NFL.
Go.
Can they share the MVP?
Yes.
Okay. Has that happened before?
It's happened with Keith Hernandez and Willie McCovey. It was one of the Willies.
One of the Willies.
They shared, I think, MVP in 1979.
Because it was, Steve McNair and Peyton Manning shared it that one year?
Yeah, but
NFL?
Remember, it's not a purpose share. Like, the voting needs to be equal.
And right. Favre and Barry Sanders did it as well, 97.
Yeah. Willie Stargell and Keith Hernandez shared the MVP. And what's so funny is I go to Baseball Reference and I look at the numbers. I see, oh, yeah, they voted. They finished tied, right? And then I look at the stats. Stats tell us that neither should have won the MVP. Like, modern stats tell us that Dave Winfield should have won the MVP.
Different way of viewing stats back
then. It's just, bro, it's a different world. But yeah, the way Keith and Willie ended up tying was that it's just votes. Like, it has to finish tied.
So
it's not like we're saying, oh, let's share it. Like, the votes have to fall to where they end up tied.
Would you be in an uproar if it was a tie?
Yeah, because it's not a tie. Okay. Aaron Judge is the MVP. It's not close.
All right.
Uproar. I mean, look, here's what's going to happen.
I think people would walk away very satisfied because you would view him as an MVP. You would never be like, he won 2.5 MVPs.
They announced the MVP award, or they will announce the MVP award, the night of a Jet-Patriot game. There's a really good chance they announce it, and I'm going to be like, oh, okay.
Right.
But today, on September 25th, that's when we care mostly about, like, awards. We don't care when they announce it, but just in the moment we care.
They should announce it Sunday night.
That'd be great. I agree with you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I want to see if there's any insight into what went into the decision and even what he says. I don't know if you could take 100% truth from that, but Jackson Dart clearly going to be a huge story here, exciting the fan base, exciting this town, BT. We can't wait to watch what Jackson Dart's going to do Sunday, so we'll get more into that. And the Mets' big win last night, we could do that, but we wanted to start with the Yankees today and throw them their flowers. Here's what I would ask you for any Yankee fan who's like, oh, we got to win the World Series. And I get that. We'll have that conversation next week. There'll be plenty of time to discuss that. Ask yourself this. Think about this. Which fan base, and I could ask you first, BT, which fan base would you, as a Yankee fan, want to trade places with right now in baseball?
None.
I mean, I Think about
it. I mean, maybe the Dodgers, okay, but none outside of the Dodgers.
You could say that, and then I would counter and say, well, yeah, look at the Dodgers. They have Dave Roberts, who I can't stand as a manager. I know they won the World Series last year, and that's great, but I think Dave Roberts is an awful manager. The Dodgers won 88 games. They're probably going to win the division again, but it wasn't. Like, they were expected to win 120 games. You know what I'm saying? The Yankees have more wins than the Dodgers do right now.
There's not a lot to be envious about if that's where you're going. There's not. The Yankees, you know, they just... you mean the season or like the last...
Well, right now. I'm just saying right now, if I asked you as a Jet fan, which franchise would you change?
Every single one of them.
Yeah, basically pick one outside of the Giants, probably. Pick a fan base that you would change.
No, at least I'd have Dart this weekend.
So
I would say the Giants still.
And you could ask me as a Met fan, outside of me loving Juan Soto or Steve Cohen and believing in them, like...
Who would you want? You would... Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to be an idiot to say anything other. Or like just resistant to the fact because you grew up a Met fan and hate the Yankees. Like, I get that mindset. I'm talking about... be in their position where they're in the playoffs every single year. So even when it feels bad because you haven't won a World Series since 2009, which, by the way, that's still better than the majority of teams in the league. But like for them, it's like it might as well be 40 years. It might as well be 1986 for the Yankees. Like 2009, oh my God. But even aside from that, they're in the postseason every single year. Every fan base should want that. And not every fan base gets even close to what the New York Yankees
have. They don't. I'll tell you what, though. Like the... You would think that some of the complaints and the dissatisfaction with the old big picture overall direction of the Yankees the last X amount of years and all those discussions we've had about Cashman and all the different things that bother us, the fans have never stopped investing their... I mean, this is fairly obvious, but Yankees have 40,000 every night. So it's not like there's this connection where, all right, hey, you know, all right, we know you're an amazing all-time franchise, but we're getting a little tired of you not delivering the ultimate prize, which is a championship. The Yankees still show up 40,000 deep every night, so right. Their fans are always into it. The fans are amazing, and the fans are also real. I don't think Yankee fans are delusional. I think there was a point, and I was guilty of this as well, and I stopped this a long time ago. There was a point, and it was normal. I'm sure the Patriot fans went through this. I'm sure the Celtic fans with Bird went through this, or Magic with the Lakers, like Bulls, Jordan, when you're so good every year. You kind of start to take stuff for granted.
Right.
And you start to say, even if they have a dire situation, down 2-1 or down 3-1 or whatever it might be, this guy's hurt, this is a bad matchup, that will find a way. Why? We're the Yankees. Now, that expired a long time ago for me. So the new, and I think that most Yankee fans stopped latching on to that aura and the other stuff that you can't really touch and quantify. It has been, I think Yankee fans have been on point. I think their dissatisfaction has been with merit. And I do think that their new, like the awakening, if I can use that term, with this team is justified because this team does look a little different than past Yankee teams.
Well, their lineup can be elite. They have some other issues. Their lineup can be elite. Williams starting to get it going together in the bullpen with Bednar. Obviously, we know what the starting pitchers are. And a big part of this, and we were talking about this during the break, to me, a big part of showing appreciation to the Yankees today after just clinching a playoff spot is also due to the fact that the Mets are showing you that it's not easy. Like, they're showing you right in front of our faces a team with that absurd payroll after they went out there and spent $8 billion on Juan Soto to bring him in here. They're still hanging on for dear life with 5 games to go. So that is a prime example right here in this town showing you it's not as easy as the Yankees have made it look.
And think about this. Even if the Mets, now I said yesterday that I think that the Mets will find a way to get in, and we'll get to them. Yeah. That was a crazy game. We will get into that in a little bit here. I do think that they'll get in, but if they do get in, to your point about trying to mirror what the Yankees do, well, then you got to do it again next year.
Right.
And then you got to get back the year after that. And then you got to get back the year after that. So it is a steep hill to climb. And, you know, just when you think that they don't have the horses to do it, the Yankees have, Cashman, I'm not going to dodge that. Cashman made some moves that have paid off, and I didn't see it coming necessarily. He's had a really good year with the roster.
The Yankees have missed, and we've done this before, but we'll do it again today before we get to the calls here. The Yankees have missed the postseason 5 times, if my math is correct here quickly. 2008, final year of the stadium.
Yep.
2013, 14, and 16. That was a little bit of a rut before the Baby Bombers took over. And then again in 2023. That is 5 years in the last 30 years. post 1994, we know about 94 was the strike. So
and there would have been more if there was a wild card back then. It's not like all those teams were terrible. I mean, I'm just perspective. Yeah. They've been so even before that.
Really, 5 years since 1993, because the 1994 season you can't count because there was no postseason, and they would have made it that year anyway.
They were great with the Expos.
So from the 94 season on, they've missed 94! Like, that's the last time the Rangers won a cup. It feels like forever ago. That was in junior high school.
Patrick Ewing.
94, the Knicks were in the finals. Like, 94. Yeah. Think about how long ago that. Five times since then. That is, not, like, that to me is almost a greater feat than if they were to win another, like, say they won a World Series last year.
And then just bottomed out for, like, six, seven years, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, even just if you tack on one more World Series win since 2009, the fact that they've missed the postseason five times since 1993 is just remarkable. Alex is calling from East Quag. What's up, Alex?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
I have one ongoing problem with Boone that I've had for most of the year. It involves Aaron Judge. And bear with me on this. Earlier this year, they asked Judge himself, where would you like to bat? He said, I prefer batting third. He said that. He's been batting second most of the year. He's gonna basically hit 50 homers. He's leading the league. He's leading the world in average. He's only going to have 100 RBIs. You know, he gets walked a lot. But this is an inherent problem with the lineup, if they're not hitting homers, and with what Boone's doing. On any given game, you've got Grisham, who's going to hit homers, but he's hitting .237, decent on-base average, I'll give you that. Then you've got Judge. On the back end of the lineup, you've got three guys in a row on any given game who are hitting .210 or less. I don't know why every single game, you got to have somebody on base when Judge is up. Every single game, leave Grisham leading hitter if you want. You've got a platoon, Dominguez and Rosario, or platoon Caballero and McFans. Okay, Caballero's on base percentage on the Yankees is .374.
He's changed a lot for them. He's brought a lot to the table, man. He's fit right in.
Somebody has to be put in the number two slot.
Well,
a Judge to get on base to take advantage of his hitting. You can't have him coming up and getting walked two times a game when nobody's on base because you know they can get away with it. Or you got 7, 8, and 9 hitting .200. Yeah. It cycles to Grisham, and then you've got Judge again. You need somebody on base.
I hear you. I think we all hear you. Thanks for the call there. I think that's a little overstated. It's really it presents itself. You know, all right, first inning, okay, and then it kind of gets lost in the wash a little bit here. First of all, Aaron Boone didn't tell, he told us. That's where you heard it. We talked about this with Boone on opening day when we had him on the show about where Judge prefers to hit. He told us that on our show. I think that it's complicated by the fact that the Yankees don't have a true leadoff hitter. Now, I can't prove this, and it's worked out. Sometimes it's been Goldschmidt. Sometimes it's been Ben Rice early. It was Austin Wells opening day. Obviously, you get a lot of Grisham there. I think if the Yankees had a true leadoff hitter like a Nobby or a Jeter type back in the day, or even a Willie Randolph type or a Ricky, I think that you might see Judge in a more conventional third spot. But I think because it's such a revolving door and it fluctuates, I think that it's easier to justify putting him two because it's a little weaker than other top leadoff hitters.
Right. It is one of the things, though, that doesn't make me feel great about this Yankee lineup. Go back to last year's playoffs. To me, the most dangerous thing from an opponent's perspective when facing the Yankees would be Gleyber when he was hot.
And he played well down the stretch,
And then Soto.
Yep.
And then you had to pitch to Aaron Judge.
Correct.
So that's what I would want to be in a spot. Now, I hate the idea of potentially having the game come down to getting another turn and you end it on the two hole as opposed to Aaron Judge will be hitting third.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you want more at-bats, but I would like to see Judge third because I do believe if they could find a potent 1-2 tandem the way that they had Torres and Soto last year in the postseason, that's their biggest key to success. I just don't know if we could get that consistent. Like, would it be Rice? Would you go Grisham? And then you have to say, is it worth it? And this is where Boone doesn't do it. Is it worth it to have the back-to-back lefties, not lefty-righty, which he likes doing? He values that more than having guys on, I guess, in front of Aaron Judge.
We could watch Yankees baseball 50 more years. We're never going to see another Soto and Judge combo.
All right, but still, you could
so it's almost impossible to look at it that way because you had no choice. You got to put Soto 2. You got to put Judge 3. If there was a better option, I'd be okay with it. But that's why I say because of the lack of consistency.
Why not Bellinger 2?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because to me, Bellinger, even more than Judge. I mean, well, because he hasn't been clutch in October, so it's not that unbelievable. But the thing that I love about Bellinger is his bat-to-ball skills. And, you know, whether it's two outs, he's going to flick one the other way, whether it's a lefty who he hits very well, whether it's a righty, hitting it up the middle, going deep when he has to or when he gets a pitch to turn on. I like the professional skill set of Bellinger behind Judge, okay, who's on base so much, rather than a guy who's more prone to strike out.
Fair enough. Why not Rice?
Rice too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grisham, no, I Rice, do. Judge. I do. Well, then it's lefty lefty.
Okay, but still. Like,
yeah. No, I'm not averse to the lefty lefty. Booney is a little bit more than we are.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't mind it as much.
But and here's the biggest difference. Even if Judge does hit second, which I would expect that to be the case more often than not.
Yep.
If a team wants to pitch around him, there's more danger behind him this year.
No question.
That's what I'm saying. So that was not the case last year, where it felt like, oh, God, if they don't do damage with Torres, Soto, Judge, you're screwed.
Well, Stanton in the postseason, but outside of that, Stanton was hit seven home runs in the postseason.
I get it, but still, in my mind, a good pitcher can pitch around John Carlson, but whatever the case may be.
It died off fast after that.
Yeah, so now I feel like it's much different to where, okay, if I'm Boone, I sit back and say, all right, well, we got Grisham, who's had a great year.
Yep.
We have Judge. You want to put Judge on? I got Belly. I got Stanton following
him. I got Rice.
Him. I got Jazz.
I got Grisham. I agree with that.
Now, I probably would still go Grisham, Rice, Judge, Belly, Stanton, Jazz. Like, that is...
I mean, that's a lot there. That's a lot of bats to navigate.
Okay, so big deal. So you have the two lefties. Like, Ben Rice can hit.
I know, and he can hit lefties, too. Yeah. So can Bellinger. I know.
So what's the issue?
There's not one with me.
Yeah.
I don't mind lefty-lefty.
Either way, it's a good spot to be in for the Yanks.
And the Blue Jays are falling apart, too. And I wonder who could have seen that coming. I wonder if there's anybody out there who had like this weird sneaking suspicion that the Blue Jays and holding on to division leads and trusting them in big games is kind of risky because they're kind of fraudulent. I wonder if there's anybody who had that opinion. And I don't normally dance on this kind of stuff, but this one I will. This one I will. And I will tell you this, Yankee fans. I've been a Yankee fan for a long time. 41 years old, going to be 42 in December. I started watching the Yankees when I was young, but the first season I really remember like following it day to day is 1993. So that's when I was watching the Yankees at some point before that too with my dad and stuff, but I went to games before that. But that's the year, for whatever reason, that I remember being old enough and with it and following it on a daily basis. So I've been a fan since 1993. Seen a lot of championships, seen a hell of a lot of postseason, seen a lot of divisional titles. I will tell you this. Now, if they lose in the ALDS, it's not going to feel as good, but I will tell you this. This will be the most enjoyable division title in my history of a Yankee fan. This will be number one. If after all the crap, after everyone telling me over and over again how awful they are, and where are you now? Where are you now about how awful the Yankees are? And where are you now to tell me every time, you know, Toronto would win. Oh, still think the Blue Jays are frauds? You know how many times someone tweeted that to me? You still think the Blue Jays are frauds? And I had to explain my position on the Blue Jays and why I believe them to be frauds. Do you know how many times? Where are you now as division is tied? And I'm telling you, this will be my favorite division title in the history of my fandom of the New York Yankees. This will be it. After all of the crap, After the swoon in June and how terrible they are and they'll never do anything and they need to break it down and this is Brian Cashman needs to be fired, Boone needs to be fired. Even I, as they were this close to slipping out of the postseason in that series in Texas before they won that final game of that series, even I was on the precipice of like, hey man, if they fall out of the postseason here, you might have to make a decision with Boone. Like, even I got there. But after all of this, and all the hate and the toxicity of the fan base and everybody despising this team. And, oh, I'm not going to believe in them until they go through the gauntlet of the 12 games. They got to prove to me that they can beat playoff teams if I'm going to get invested in this group. Blah, 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 blah. After all of that, if they win the freaking division and overcome what has been, at its peak, a 6-game lead from the Blue Jays, and take down the frauds, as I've been sticking to my guns about them being the frauds for, you know, since September of 2021, this will be the best division the best division win ever. We can, I don't know if they hang division title banners. I don't suspect they do in Yankee Stadium. I don't think they do. This one they should hang. Hang it. Hang it proud. And the other reason why is because, let's be honest, the American League isn't that good. What we thought was a very good Tigers team is not. What many of you might have suspected, a very good Toronto team, is not. Cleveland now is the other division winner. The perennial losers that are the Seattle Mariners are the two seed. And if I have to see the Boston Red Sox, it's going to be with Garrett Crochet not being able to start until game three. Boom!
Could there be a better case scenario for the Yankees than winning the division, because you want the buy in this, but somehow also the Mariners pass you while doing that, so you're in the 2-3-6 bracket, and you get the winner of, you know, Cleveland, Detroit, Houston, pretty much no Mariners, no Red Sox.
No Mariners, no Red Sox, no possible Blue Jays, although, again, they don't scare me. But yes, that's actually, that is the better seat, right? The two seed actually is, because the other division title, the Cleveland Guardians, although they are doing an incredible job, like, you can't knock them. What they've done here is remarkable. They've won all these games. Like, I don't want to just dismiss them, but...
But you will.
But I will, because they're not good enough to beat the Yankees in the postseason. We know that. We've seen it. We know what's going to happen. So, I mean, if the Yankees are sitting there waiting for the winner of Cleveland and Houston, for example, or Cleveland and Detroit, who are both in free fall, but somebody's got to win, like, oh, see in the ALCS.
What really hurts the Yankees here is they have the tiebreaker over Seattle.
Right.
It's too bad they don't have the option to tell Rob Manfred to pass.
Well, that, and they have to win, and Seattle won't have to. Right? That's the other thing, too. Seattle, they clinched the division last night, and I would imagine, I got to look and see how...
Well, if they want to chase the Yankees or Blue Jays, they're a game behind.
Okay, so they're only a game behind. They are 3 in the loss column ahead of Cleveland, so they're kind of locked into a bye no matter what. I don't know how much it would mean to them to necessarily try and get the one seed and have home field advantage throughout, which would only be against the Yankees if it's the Yankees. If anybody beats the Yankees, it would be in Seattle. So I don't know how far they would push it. They're guaranteed the bye already. They're pretty much locked into the bye. So I don't see that happening. But, actually, let me just...
And remember, though, same thing with the Yankees or anybody. When you have the bye... You're not skipping pitchers in this last weekend because they're not playing until the following weekend anyway.
That's a good point. But you might not push them. You might take them out after four innings instead of letting them go seven. Yeah, yeah. Like if they're dealing, you probably still take them out after five. But yeah, no, I mean, whatever the case may be, like right now, this American League, the National League wild card is easy. It's the Mets and it's the Diamondbacks or the Reds. We just went through that. The American League... I mean, everyone else is eliminated. It's a battle between two teams for this final wild card spot, between Detroit and Houston. But right now, that division, the Yankees are tied with the Blue Jays. That division's up for grabs. I suppose the Central is still up for grabs. And I guess positioning is still kind of up for grabs, where the Tigers could overtake the Red Sox if the Red Sox stumble over the next four. But... They're on an 8-game losing streak, the Tigers. The Astros are on a 5-game losing streak. The Yankees are on a 4-game winning streak. They're the best team in baseball since the beginning of August, and they are one game away from taking down the frauds and winning this division. And that would be sweet. That would be sweet. And then we're going to get to your calls in a second, but let's do Springer for a second. Because I got to be honest, as we're talking about the frauds, right? If you haven't seen the video, John Boy, who is, you know, they do a great job talking Yanks. They'll be on after me on Saturday this week with a show here on The Fan. They've started doing that on weekends, so that's awesome. But he broke in with the Savages in the Box reading the lips. That's really what started to set John Boy apart and really, you know, set him off here on this, you know, making deals with MLB and Yes Network and WFAN. And he just put out a video of George Springer yesterday, Wednesday. No, Tuesday. I get confused. Tuesday night, they obviously lose to the Red Sox. and George Springer hits a ball with the bases loaded right down the third baseline. And it's called foul. Now, I am not 1,000% sure, but I'm pretty damn sure that's a fair ball that bounces over the bag. Like, if I had to make a bet, my life depended on it, it's a fair ball. So I'm not saying George Springer didn't get screwed. He did. After that foul ball, which should have been a double down the line to score at least two runs, maybe three, he gets back in the box, and there's a breaking ball, which is clearly at least an inch or two off the plate, called for strike three. And he gets frustrated. He slams the bat. He goes into the dugout. When he's in the dugout, John Boy picks it up on camera. He's frustrated, obviously, and rightfully so. He got screwed not once, but twice in the matter of two pitches. So I get the frustration. But then he has the balls to say, and again, he didn't say it publicly. He didn't say it into a microphone. He didn't say it in the press conference. He said it in the dugout, not knowing anybody would hear him. But on his mind, as this team is blowing the division, as this team is losing on a nightly basis, this isn't just one game. They had a five-game division lead 10 days ago. Not even that, a week ago. I think Meredith said, and I got to go double-check. Meredith said to Judge in the postgame on the field that a week ago they were down five games. The Yankees have made up five games in a week or 8 days. They've been losing consistently. They're in free fall. Their pitching rotation is falling apart. They are doing what frauds do. And in that moment, he's got the nerve to say, if they want the Yankees to win, just tell us and give it to them. That's what he's thinking in that moment. In that moment, as a fair ball, or what we would suspect is a fair ball, is called foul, and a ball is called strike three, he goes back to the bench, and his thought process is Major League Baseball is in it to screw the Blue Jays so the Yankees can win the division. Never mind the fact that they could get three more games from the Yankees at Yankee Stadium in the wild card. They're both going to the playoffs. But if you want to give it to the Yankees, just tell us and give it to him. That is coming from a dude who literally cheated at the highest level in baseball history. It is the biggest scandal since the 1919 Black Sox. He was banging on trash cans, cheating his way to a World Series title. This dude's got the balls to sit there and think they're being screwed because everybody wants the Yankees to win? Go take a walk, George Springer. You fraud. And you know what? That is peak fraud mentality. He is so terrified of losing the division. The Yankees are so far in his head. And the idea that they would beat the Yankees is so still in the back of his mind, hard to fathom, that he's got to come up with reasons why they're blowing it to the New York Yankees when they had a five-game lead a week ago. This wasn't one. They didn't come into this tied and now they're screwed. This wasn't a one-day thing. They had every opportunity to pull away and own this division, and they have blown it. They have. Springer, Vladimir Guerrero, who got thrown out of this game because they're panicking, because they're frauds, because they have no idea how to stop the momentum clearly turning in the Yankees' favor. And that's what they're thinking about as they get struck out, as they get a fair ball turned foul. They're thinking about how someone's screwing us. It can't just be that we're bad. It can't just be that we're blowing it. It can't just be that this is all too much for us frauds. It's no. Major League Baseball wants the Yankees. What a crybaby fraud. Unbelievable. From a dude who literally cheated to get a championship. Maybe it's the comeuppance of the Houston Astros, because that excellent winning manager out in Detroit has no idea how to get a win either. and he's going to blow a division in obviously Hinch, if you don't know who I'm talking about, the former manager of the Houston Astros, current manager of the Detroit Tigers. Oh, what a job by Hinch. He's incredible. He takes over the Tigers. They're a playoff team last year. They're as dangerous as anybody. This year, they've built up the best record in the American League, and they're going to win that division. Eight in a row. They're a game up over the Astros just to hang on to a playoff spot. I wonder if he thinks they want, I wonder if he thinks Major League Baseball wants Cleveland to win. Hey, if you want Cleveland to win, just give it to them. No, no, no. They're taking it. And you know what, Springer? So are the Yankees. Ain't nobody giving it to them. Ain't nobody taking it from you. You're blowing it, and the Yankees are taking it. Sorry. What a loser. This is going to be sweet. This is going to be the best division title ever. This is going to be the greatest division title of all time. They still got to go out and do it. They got four games, and they have to be a game better. Have to and the Blue Jays, to their credit, have earned every bit of the tiebreaker. They beat up on the Yankees this year. There is no doubt about it. I can't say different. The Yankees won the last series against them, won the first series against them, and in between, they won the bread. The sandwich was absolutely, the meat was absolutely owned by Toronto. And if the Yankees could have just figured out a way to win one of those four games, just one, be locking up the division over the next couple days. So they still got to go out and play it. I get it, and they still do, and I'm not telling you it's a fate, it's not over. They got to go do it. Yankees got to go do it. But I told you these Blue Jays are frauds, and now they're crying. Now they're getting thrown out of games. Now they're blaming Major League Baseball for trying to rig the system. That's what frauds do. When they don't know how to stop it, they complain and say, look, oh, this guy's doing it to me. That guy's doing it to me. That's what losers do, and that's not you. That's the second Rocky Balboa reference I've made in the last 10 minutes.
Do some football later on. Tony Richardson, former Jet fullback, Chief Hall of Famer, or a Ring of Honor. And I can't tell the difference with those. But anyway, Tony Richardson, former fullback in the NFL. He'll join us in studio coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll talk some Week 4, some Jets, some Jackson Dart with him. Before we did that, I wanted to just clarify one thing, because we were talking about it matter-of-factly, like everybody knew about the trash talk from the Blue Jays, but then I was getting texts that, hey, can you explain what you're talking about, because not everybody knows that. Okay, well, I will explain that then. Number one, Buck Martinez, who was a current Blue Jay broadcaster, he called the Yankees flat-out not a good team. That is a quote, and was referring to the fact that they rely on the home run, their inability to win without hitting home runs, suggesting a lack of offensive diversity, fundamentally flawed, blah, 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 but went on one of these rants in a Blue Jays broadcast game that basically called them not a good team. The Blue Jays manager took issue with the Yankees when they were stealing signs, and I don't even know if I would say took issue with them stealing signs or relaying messages. You've seen this, BT, dancing off of second base, whatever they're doing. Yeah. They're doing
arm up, arm down.
John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, said, quote, they were relaying, they're good at it. Major League Baseball knows the Yankees are good when they have something. Now, he also said the Blue Jays got to do a better job of not giving anything away, but inferring that the Yankees are good when they have something. And then, and this is my favorite part of it, I guess after the Blue Jays swept, I forget the details. Hoff, do you have the proper details here? After the Blue Jays swept the Yankees early in the season, one of the Blue Jays broadcasters was on the set with a broom.
Yes,
I think he took a shot at Michael Kay or something.
Yeah, I remember that,
And then Kay rightfully nailed him with something like, I'm not a fawning fanboy, I'm a broadcaster, and said something about that. I also wouldn't be taking bows in June, whenever it was that they swept them. Let's see how it plays out. Woo! You know. Yeah. I mean, you actually literally know Michael Kay. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
But even I know that he's...
He's sensitive with certain things. Oh, no, he is. And when he fires back. No, he'll tell you he's sensitive. No, he is.
But he's waiting.
Oh, yeah.
He's waiting for the Yankees to complete the sweep, or to complete the division win here, and then going to take a rightfully so victory lap at the expense of the Blue Jays and their broadcasters. So Kay may want this division more than the Yankees, but those are three examples of how there's a little bit of bad blood or maybe trash talk from the Blue Jay side toward the Yankees.
Yeah, and good that everybody's up on that. It's kind of been, you know, dripping in throughout the season. A little drip here, a little drip there. I mean, listen, the Blue Jays, I would tell them to act like they've been there before, but they haven't. You know, it really is a group.
Right, but so they should
really
act like that.
I know they don't know how to act yet, and they don't know how to hit either. And we just run through the stats before. It's like 7 or 8 games. They've scored one run. Their offense is absolutely broken right now. Here's the thing, though. So, like, if K wants to dance on their grave, if and when we get to that point. See, to me, he can't do it until the Yankees win the World Series. If they do, because then he leaves himself open, like, all right, let's say the Yankees win the division, Toronto plays the wild card, Toronto gets bounced, K dances on them, look at you, and it would be good radio, because he's pretty good when he wants to let it rip, he lets it rip well, and then the Yankees lose in the League Championship Series, or they have a World Series, and they're booting the ball around, then Toronto parachutes back in, and they get the last word.
Fair enough, but it's just, this is, to me, specific to the division. And catching the Blue Jays, who had the lead all the way until the final 4 days of the regular season. I know what you're saying, but you can say that about any trash talk. Like, this is specific to the division. Nothing beyond that. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see how, you know, Boone's sensitive to it too, as he should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's his team. He wants to get revenge on the Dodgers. So I bet you he's rooting for the Dodgers in the World Series. Let's go get a little rematch, and this time we'll see how much trash they're talking, how bad we are, and this and that.
You could tell. Listen, Aaron does a good job of keeping his emotions in check. Otherwise, not when he's berating umpires. I mean, other than that.
Right. He definitely keeps his emotions under control, BT. Sure.
No, but I mean the other stuff. Like, he bites his tongue a lot. You could tell that, you know, because we've had conversations with him off the air, and we know that, you know, he was pissed. I mean, what you say on the air is going to be a little bit different than what you say off.
For some.
And I think that he is a proud man, as all baseball people are, baseball lifers, and the Dodgers were dumping on him. I mean, basically said, your team can't catch, you can't run, you're a mess. And if you take pride in your job, which he does, and Aaron Judge does, and other Yankees do, you don't forget that stuff.
This one for the division, though, would be sweet with all that trash talk from the Blue Jays, different parts of it. All right, let's get back to the phones here. Larry in Howard Beach wants to talk about his Mets. What's up, Larry?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
How are you?
BT? What's up, Sal?
Hey, Larry.
Sal, one thing with your uncle and everything, living in the moment, just tell him, as a Met fan, I am living in my moment, and that's misery and torture right now. Just one thing, guys, before I get on to my point that I want to bring up. You guys were talking about the reseeding before. Luckily, you know, lucky if we do get in the playoffs and whatever, but in baseball, they don't reseed. So, like, it's set in stone, because if you remember last year, the Mets were the 6th seed, and they wound up playing Philly, which was the 2. So that would be like, say, 1-4-2-3 plays in the next round.
I see.
So it doesn't reseed, you're saying?
No, there's brackets? It doesn't.
Oh, right. Baseball has the bracket now. See, that's why. I forgot. Right. So it has the bracket here. So what would the... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, because like I said, if you remember last year, the Mets were 6.
Right.
Philly was the 2. And the Mets didn't play the Dodgers, which were the 1 until the LCS.
Yeah, and right now the Dodgers are 3, Mets are 6. If the Mets get in, they would the winner of the Dodgers series would play the Phillies at the 2.
Play the Phillies.
Yep. See, I don't like that. I'm all about reseeding, and thank you for the call, Larry. I don't think that's right. I would rather reseed than have the brackets. Like, if you're, because it also hurts the team. You're penalizing the team. Would you pull up that bracket, BT? MLB.com?
I think MLB.com. I got it in front of him. What do you need?
No, I'm just curious. It also penalizes the teams that are in front, not just the team from the lower half of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're rewarding, let's say in that case, the Mets, who are the 6 seed, who got to play the 2 seed as opposed to the 1 seed, and you're hurting the Dodgers, because they then have to play the higher seed as opposed to the lower
seed. But you're also helping out the 1 seed, theoretically, by having a quote-unquote easier matchup in the first round. Because think about it, if you're the 1 seed, would you rather play the 4-5 winner or the 3-6 winner? Generally, the 3-6 winner is going to be better. So
why can't you just reseed it and then they play the lower seed remaining?
You could. No, I get you. I would even take it so far as I'm a proponent of reseeding the NCAA tournament. Like, I think that reseeding good philosophy, because that's a true barometer. Like, if it's a 4-5-6 month endeavor to get a top seed, as it is in all these sports there, don't you think you should reap the rewards throughout?
Yeah, I mean, I just think the logistical nightmare there, plus there's so many teams.
Well, like, the travel will be a big issue. Yeah, I'm saying logistical would be a concern. But yeah, I mean, but again, if you're the Brewers right now, who are the 1 seed.
So that means, I'm sorry, BT.
Yeah.
So the Yankees then, let's say they win the division, they would be awaiting the winner of the most likely
Red Sox Toronto.
Bingo.
Correct. Rather than the Guardians, who are the, if let's say the Guardians beat the Tigers, Guardians right now with 3 seed, Detroit 6.
Right, but also rather than the Tigers, who were the 6 seed, like, or whoever the, it could, let's say the Astros.
Yeah, it could go the other way. It could be the 6 seed, so you could benefit. Yeah,
well,
you could.
Let's say the Astros get into the 6 seed. You're telling me as a Yankee fan, you wouldn't want to face the Astros, who are the worst team in? You have the number 1 seed, the Astros, let's say they upset the Guardians in this hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
You instead would face the either the winner of the Blue Jays or Red Sox versus the Astros. That's nonsense. That's not right to the team or in the number 1 seed.
Well, is it not right because we know what we know and there's rivalries and there's histories that, like, I mean, is Toronto? I know what you're saying. I see it both ways.
Yeah,
I do.
The 6 seed is supposed to be the worst team in. Sometimes it's not, but
yeah. Well, do you want to face Schuble twice? I don't. In a 7-game series,
right,
no thanks.
But I'm saying it might be the Astros. The Astros could still catch the Tigers. So.
Yeah. No, I understand that. And listen, would I rather take on the Astros? Yeah. Number one, the Yankees play well in Houston. Number two, you know, one of their best hitters is out, Alvarez, and you know the Yankees have played pretty well again. They just beat them 2 out of 3. I think the problem with this stuff, Sal, is like year to year, the circumstances are so fluid, and not just to take the easy way out, but no matter what Major League Baseball did, I think 1 year would seem fair, and I think the next year it could seem unfair. We'll get to these Met calls. Obviously, another mess last night for the Mets. Rodon tonight. All right, so a couple things here. Obviously, the Yankees and the Jays dead heat. 90 wins apiece, 68 losses. The Jays have lost 6 of 10. They're reeling. The Yankees have won 7 of 10. They're humming. Now, last night, we'll do a little MVP stuff later with Raleigh and Judge because the odds have changed and maybe the conversation's changed a bit as well. But can I just tell you one thing that bothers me about baseball? And, you know, you didn't really know it in real time. We sensed it, and we tried to get a sense of what, or a true sense of what it would mean down the road. Well, here we are down the road. The impact of the steroid era, right? And I don't mean just about the Hall of Fame. That's a boring conversation, all right? You either want these guys in or you don't. But last night, Aaron Judge hits number 50 and number 51. So he's the fourth player in the history of baseball to have 50 home runs 4 times or more in his career. The other three would be Babe Ruth, would be Sosa, and McGuire. All right, so what I don't understand is,
I'm shocked that that's the whole list.
Yeah, like you would have thought maybe like a Jimmy Fox not a Mantle, but a Fox or one of those older names, like a Kiner.
Which plays to the point of like me growing up in the steroid era thinking 50 is a great accomplishment, but like not that great of an accomplishment.
Yeah, real quick though, because that's interesting. What was the first time that you ever heard 50? I remember
Cecil Fielder.
Okay, good. Okay, so and that's the age difference between us. And I remember he hit 50 and 51, I think, against the Yankees,
what
if
year?
I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember.
90? We could double check. That, okay. 90, 91, something like that. Either way, I think the first time I ever heard 50 home runs, and I was only 3 or 4 when he did it, but I feel like I heard it a couple of years after that when George Foster did it with the Reds.
Okay.
He had 50-something. Either way, see, this is the problem here. So you're watching the Yankees last night. You know, you're scrolling through social media. Oh, wow, what another amazing accomplishment for Aaron Judge. And you understand that. But, you know, if you just see Ruth and Judge instead of Ruth, Sosa, McGuire, and Judge. Maybe I'm being a little petty here, but to me it changes the context of history a little bit. If they're not going to be in the Hall of Fame, then don't include them on these stats, these historical footnotes.
I know, it's just a weird, like, what are they supposed to do? It happened, they don't want to acknowledge it, but it is part of the record books. Dude, you know what's wild? Like, you asked me, and I'm just like, Cecil Fielder, that's the first one I remember, and I'm thinking, like, who did I miss in there? It goes from Foster in 77,
yep,
which was before my time.
Yeah, sure.
To Cecil Fielder.
Is that true? There wasn't one?
90. Foster, 77, hit 52 home runs. Fielder hit 51 in 1990.
So it was 90, okay. And I think it was against the Yankees, the last one. I think.
That I don't know.
Either
have
way, yep.
Here.
Yep.
And then from there, 95, 96, 96.
Brady Anderson.
Yeah, exactly. That one I remember. Albert Bell, Mark McGuire, Brady Anderson, Mark McGuire, Griffey Jr., Sosa, McGuire. Like it goes on. Greg Vaughn. Like,
oh, God.
That's why to me it felt like it was bigger, I think, than it is in reality. Like more people did it because after 95 on, it happened with regularity. But meanwhile, prior to that, it happened in 1965. Obviously, we know about 61 with Mantle and Maris. 65 with Willie Mays. 77 with Foster. 90 with Cecil Fielder.
Yep.
And then the steroid era with Albert Bell getting things kicked off in 95. That is wild to me.
Well, that's kind of my point, too. Yeah. And here we are. It's like, oh, yeah. Like, they don't deserve to be lumped in there. I'm sorry. So I just pulled up. If you could pull up Mickey Mantle for a sec, just out of curiosity. Mm-hmm. We'll geek out for a sec. Then we'll get back to the call. So, you know, again, one of my early visuals was obviously seeing Reggie, whether it was This Week in Baseball. I don't even know how I saw it for the first time. But when Reggie hit the 3 home runs in the World Series in the 70s against the Dodgers, right? Reggie never even had more than 41 home runs, dude. No, I'm sorry. He had 47 with Oakland in his third year. And then it was a lot of 30s and 36s and 141 in 80, and then 39, and that was it. And when we were growing up, I just remember whether it was stickers or baseball cards or just watching games and reading the paper, like it seemed like all the Mike Schmidt and Reggie and Gorman Thomas and those guys, they would hit like 36 or 37, and that would lead the league in home runs.
Like if you would have had a, if you would have asked me name 50 home runners, I probably would have guessed Mike Schmidt, and he never did it, right?
No, I don't even think Mike Schmidt. I don't even know if Mike had 40.
Mike who?
Mike Schmidt. Cam Schlittler?
Right, I don't know why, but I would have, just because I know the 500, maybe I would get that mixed up.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so Mantle did it twice. He had 52 home runs in 1956.
Okay.
And then he had 54 home runs in 1961.
Think about that, Mickey Mantle twice. I just want to double check to make sure that Schmidt did not do it. I don't think he did. No, he had 48 in 80, and then he had 40 in 83, and most were in the high 30s. So, right. Listen, what does it all mean? It really doesn't mean anything. It's just my way of pointing a spotlight on the cheaters and how somebody like Aaron Judge, could you just think about this for a second? Can you imagine if Aaron Judge was taking steroids?
Yeah.
What would he hit, 75? 80?
Yeah, I mean, players nowadays don't get the benefit of the doubt, especially when you do something that, like Aaron Judge is doing something that no other human not on steroids has done.
And that's my point. Then take away Sosa and McGuire's name from the stat. Because they're lumping them in. And say, so if you're a 15-year-old kid right now and you're watching the Yankees last night, yeah, maybe you heard about steroids, but you don't really know. You don't delineate between doing it the right way and the wrong way. Why would you? You're looking at a stat, and why would you think that there's four different, you know, like or different paths to get there?
Right.
It's just unfair to judge. And Ruth.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls here on the Mets. Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, BT and Sal. How we doing there?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
I don't know. It's just very tough watching this, but there is blame to blame on everyone on this team because it isn't one person. But to me, it is one person, and it was Stern. He did not do his job being the general manager, did not get the pitching. You know, pitching is 80% of the game, especially down in the playoffs. It is part of the game. Now, Sally, I remember last year when we got Soto, how excited we were. And I said the job wasn't done. And you kind of said, Charlie, enjoy the moment. I could enjoy the moment because just because you got Soto, we still needed a number one pitcher. We never had a number one pitcher. You know, Yankees, they lose Cole. What do? Cashman goes out and goes against the number one. And that's what the Mets had to do. And they didn't do that. And they were relying on the same thing he did last year. And he lucked out last year. Yeah, those deals pulled out. Manaea did a good job last year. But he was relying on number lower twos and threes pitches becoming number ones. And they did it last year. But you know what? He thought he was going to hit again, and he didn't. He rode snake eyes and didn't do his job.
Okay, so
and
now
he took some hits and injuries.
But now he's got to learn from it. And the only counter that I would have, and we had this conversation in the offseason, because it wasn't like everybody was just like, oh, yeah, the Mets don't need pitching. No, everybody acknowledged that they could benefit from having a top-end starter, but the talk was Corbin, and this was before they actually got Soto, and who knows what the pivot would have been, but I have a feeling even if they didn't get Soto, they weren't getting a big arm anyway. They didn't want Corbin Burns, and Max Fried ended up going to the Yankees. Now, would that have flipped? I don't know if Stearns, I don't believe his philosophy is to invest in, you know, high-end starting pitching, long-term, big money. That would have been the one guy, BT, that I would have gone after, but I wanted Soto. So the Mets got Soto. I didn't care what they did at the starting rotation. Figure it out. Put it together. You can't ask for Soto and Max Fried. That's not realistic.
No, that's I don't care how much money Cohen has. That's ridiculous, yeah. Is right. So to me, you know, you hear the expression, read the room, right? You go into a room, read what's there, and then adapt, right?
Right.
And you just use the word adapt with Stearns. This is going to be a very interesting year to offseason to test his adaptability because what he had in Milwaukee as a mindset works in Milwaukee and worked his first year with the Mets now, and that's his comfort zone. You know, it's not going out and giving big money to a pitcher. But I think that this should provide some evidence that he's got to meet somewhere in the middle and maybe extend the boundaries of what he's willing to do to give some money to a high-ticket guy at the top of the rotation.
I would be willing to bet anything that he's not going to change his philosophy on that. But
well,
also,
that's not a good thing.
No, you've heard him. Well, how do we know? Like, who are the guys out there that you're going to go give $300 million to in the starting
rotation? How about Schuble if he doesn't resign with the Tigers?
Yeah,
you know, you want to be in the – I want to be at the line for Schuble for the Yankees. You don't want him?
No, I would not.
What?
I would not. It's not that I don't want him. I don't believe – I also don't believe in investing big money in high-end starting pitching, especially where you have all the money elsewhere. Now, you want to tell me they trade Lindor or Nimmo and change the way the team is structured and put a little more money into the starting pitching? And I'm not sure Skubal would be the guy. I'd have to like really look into it and see how much it's going to cost. But only that, like, I would definitely not do it now. Just, oh, yeah, let's go get another $300 million contract on top of it. Not to mention that they do have Nolan McClain and Sproat and Tong. But, like, Stern said it the other day, it's all about developing young pitching. Those guys were drafted before he got here. Billy Epler and his regime deserves credit for those three guys. But that's what it's going to be about, developing young pitching. So you have those guys in the prime of their careers when, you know, they first come up under team control for cheap before the injuries start to happen. Even then, you can't guarantee with the injuries.
No, you can't. But listen, Sal, I thought that that was part of the calculus coming in here. Like, hey, we've got some young guys who are just on the cusp of being ready, and we know McClain's the real. We strongly think he's the real deal, and I'm not worried about Tong. He's just it's too early for him. But he's got good stuff, and obviously Sproat's pretty good as well. And they got more coming, so that's part of the mindset. Clearly, where if you have a couple of guys you really believe in, and other teams covet the Mets pitchers too, it's not just like the Mets trumping up their guys. Oh, we got some good arms. Major League Baseball knows that the Mets have some good young pitching prospects, so that was part of the reason they didn't go nuts. But I cannot imagine a world, especially if they don't make the playoffs, where you, whether it's Skeens or Skubal, where Cohen isn't like, dude, you better get one of these guys here. I can't imagine Cohen lets that kind of arm.
Well, Skeens is a different. So, like, you tell me you're going to go. I'd rather trade for somebody who's under team control and younger, and then I can decide what I'm going to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Then just go out there and be like, okay, well, this guy hit the open market. Let's go spend him. Now, again, I have to see how it plays out. I just don't believe that that's the right. I'd rather invest in the lineup than I would starting pitch. I told you, the only guy I would have invested in this year would have been Fried. And even that, I mean, it's year one, it looks great now. It's a long way. It's 8 years.
Agreed, but if you had Max Fried now, it doesn't mean that he's 19-5 with a sub-3 ERA and a whip that's barely one. I got you. Yeah. But if you guys had Max Fried this year, guess what?
Yeah.
You're not in this predicament. Yeah. So it only takes one guy to change the whole thing.
I know, but they already have the highest payroll by a lot. So like, you're asking to add another $218 million contract on that. Like, things have to change before you start balancing it out a little bit. They've already invested heavily, whether it be in Diaz as a closer, Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso, $30 million a year, Soto, obviously an absurd contract. Like,
yep,
to throw in Fried on top of that, well, then why stop? Why not just, why stop there? Just go get everybody else. I mean, they tried to get Sasaki, or they tried to get Yamamoto. That didn't happen.
Yeah, they did. But don't you think they've got enough young guys, whether it's Alvarez, whether it's Beatty, whether it's Vientos, that are making, you know, peanuts, and even some of the young pitchers who we all like here? I mean, again, I understand you can't expect Cohen to spend $450. Understood. But I mean, you know, when the starters can't get 8-9 outs, I mean, Max Fried would change everything.
You got to get some.
He's gone. You can't get him. Yeah. I understand now. It's too late. But I'm saying philosophically down the road, I mean, they're going to need an ace. Now, maybe it's McClain. Here's what I'm saying.
I don't even think that one. Like, they could have Max Fried right now. That's great. He pitches once every 5 days.
No, I understand that. But if he.
It wouldn't help the Mets.
But if he makes 33 starts and wins 16, 17 games where he gives you a chance to win 23 of the 33 starts, Mets are a playoff team. It's a lock right now. One guy can make that big of a difference.
I don't believe that that's the case. I think in the postseason, sure.
Well, think about it this way. If Max Fried was not on the Yankees this year, are the Yankees a playoff team? I don't know. Probably not.
I still think they would be because they have the rest of the rotation.
But they're not. I mean, it depends what they would have had in their place. But if it was another Will Warren type, I can make the.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.